We have the honor and the privilege to have Dr. Tom Sexton with us here this evening. He'll be with us all through Tuesday night, and I've known Brother Sexton for, we were trying to figure out, somewhere around close to 30 years, somewhere around there, and met him years and years ago and appreciate him. And he's a joy to be around. He bubbles all the time. He just kind of oozes, and it's just kind of all over. Just, and I love it. I love energy. I love spunk. I love. He's been down at Gulf Coast Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida, for 27, right?
Yes.
27 years. He's still excited. I like that. I like that. Still excited. Still wanting to do something. Still excited. Can't. He wants to. I mean, he's got something going all the time. Something new. Something exciting. And I appreciate. Excited about his people. Loves his people. And I just appreciate so much. I like to get around folks who are like that. He's going to be a blessing to you tonight. So I hope you'll listen. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. And you give us what's on your heart here tonight.
Thank you. God bless you, preacher. I love it, don't you? I like singing and all of that, you know. My goodness, what a blessing your pastor is. And you think about all that God's doing. I appreciate you praying for our ministry in Cape Coral, Florida. How many know where Cape Coral, Florida is? Good, good. A couple of you. How many know where Florida is? All right, let's start there and work your way south. Once you cross the state line, you've got about 6.5 hour drive, 7 hour drive to where we are. And we're 120-something miles south of Tampa. We're on the opposite coast of Miami and Cape Coral, Florida. Beautiful city. And, you know, I never dreamed that I would be there. I mean, I got saved. We left, and I didn't think I'd ever go back, but God directed my path, and I'm so glad he did. Many years ago, 27 years ago, we cleared off a spot and started Gulf Coast Baptist Church. You know, we started in our home and started knocking on doors, telling people about the Lord, and met with folk in our house. And then we planned our service, and we had a great beginning. Thank God for that. And we met in a bank conference room. I was trying to figure out how to get in the vault every Sunday, you know. We could answer to, oh. Well, God supplies by many different ways. You know, I'm just kidding you. But we had a good time there, and we just kept moving and growing, and God's been so good to us. I call my son-in-law, who's been with me for many years, and he's a great Christian, a great preacher. People love him. And when I say I'm going out of town, they smile. I know, it breaks my heart. But they go, oh. Well, anyway, he does a good job. Many years ago, he wrote a program for youth ministry, and he used it all over the country. But he's a stirring preacher, and he sings and plays piano and does all that. Well, I got a text this afternoon, said, we had a great service. One of our men texted me and said, Pastor, we had a great service. Great service. Had a lot of visitors, and visitors got saved, and things. Children got saved, young people. And he said, my goodness, God was working in service. And I thought, thanks. You know, just thank you. But I do appreciate that. It means a whole lot to me. And we got some great people. I love them and thank God for them, you know. It's an interesting, you know, everywhere you go, people in the Lord's work are very precious. Thank God for it. I'm glad you're here and I'm glad I'm here. I like this area. And be honest with you, I'm looking forward to Tuesday's lunch. I mean, I've thought about it. You know, when church women cook, it's really good. But now, you have to make sure they understand what you like to eat. Our first dinner on the grounds at Gulf Coast Baptist Church, I thought it'd be a good idea. And we've got people from different parts of the world. And so we hadn't been started very long. I said, it's a good time to have dinner on the grounds. And so we did. And one of the ladies from Romania made a tuna fish cake. I didn't know you could use tuna fish and make a cake. And I still don't believe you can use tuna fish and make a cake. But she was so sweet. And I could tell that cake had a little kick to it because she had it covered with plastic and it kept just... She cut me a big slice and put it on my plate and sat right across from me. Oh, I'll tell you what, the grace of God, you know. It's amazing. But I will say that our ladies have gotten better at it. And I love it. I love it. Look forward to it. I'm excited what God's doing here, honest to goodness. And I want to share with you something God put on my heart. And I want you to turn, if you would, to the Gospel according to Mark chapter number 10. I know your pastor well. And I know he's a wonderful, wonderful pastor. And you're doing everything you can to reach people. I'm excited about the soul winning training on Wednesday nights and the preaching. My goodness, everybody ought to be involved in sharing your faith. Every single person. But I want you to look with me tonight in Mark's Gospel chapter number 10. We're going to look at verse number 13. The Bible says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them." And look what the Bible says. "And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And he said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." Father, dear Lord, I thank you again for your goodness, and I thank you for the opportunity you've given me to stand in this great pulpit and to share your word with these precious people. And Lord, I ask you to help me tonight, that you might anoint me fresh and new with your spirit. And dear Lord, that you would do tonight what I cannot do, and that is to speak to the hearts of people. Open our minds and hearts of understanding. Help us to see truth. Lord Jesus, if there's one here tonight that's not sure they're going to heaven, may this be their day of salvation. But help all of us who know you determine that when we leave this meeting tonight, that we're going to please you with our lives and make a difference in this world. And we thank and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I want to speak tonight on this subject, bringing children to Jesus. Bringing children to Jesus. I was sharing with your pastor some of the burdens of my heart. Many years ago, God allowed us to begin some work in different parts of the world, and in Africa, and then over in Asia, and in the Caribbean islands. And God's blessed, and we're excited about it. And the Lord has really stirred my heart up about what can be done with the gospel. By the way, I believe with all of my heart that the answer to the world is the gospel. I believe that. And I've been in different parts of the world and preach to just hundreds and sometimes thousands of people. And I've been places and saw children. I have recorded places I've gone. I've recorded children singing. Children. All over the world, different languages singing, "Jesus loves me." There's something special about children. There's just something special about children. And the Bible says in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 10, that they brought young children to Jesus. What a beautiful picture. And they brought young children to him. And the Bible says that he might touch them. That's quite a thing, isn't it? They brought young children to him that he might touch them. And the Word of God says the disciples rebuked those that brought the children. And the Word of God says Jesus was much displeased. It's interesting that God put that word "much" there. that we might understand how the Lord really felt about rebuking people who brought children to Him. Now, we live in a day where children and youth are being neglected in America. I told the pastor that I'm giving my life as much as I can the rest of my life to try to reach America and America's youth and try to be involved in bringing children to the Lord Jesus. And our church is involved in bringing children and young people to the Lord Jesus. There are over 50 million children and young people in the public school system in America. Over 50 million. We know where they are every day. And by the way, one day they're going to be the ones in charge of this nation. And I believe with all of my heart that that's one of the greatest mission fields in all the world, to reach children and young people. Thank God for churches and that reach children, and thank God for Christian education. I love Christian education. Both my children graduated from Christian school. I believe that we have to help people have the mind of Christ. But we must always remember that there's a world, and there's a host of young people who need God, who need the Lord. And it is the responsibility of every child of God to reach this generation with the gospel of Christ. And so I want you to jot down some things. People ask, why should we reach children? Why should we reach children? Why should we bring children to the Lord Jesus? First of all, children are ready to meet Christ. I want you to think about that for a second. They're ready to meet the Lord. You see, God created us with a need. We're created with a need. And that need is real simple. People need to be loved. As a matter of fact, there's not a person in the world that doesn't have a need to be loved. To be loved. Secondly, God created us with a need to feel of worth. People don't feel very valuable. Oh, they may have achieved a lot of things in the business world. They may have lots of things to live with, but in their heart of heart, they do not feel of worth. Number three, people have a need, not only to be loved and to feel of worth, but people need hope. They're losing hope all over this world, all over our country. And number four, people need a purpose for life. Now, that's the four greatest needs of mankind. A need to be loved, a need to feel of worth, a need for hope, and a need for purpose in life. That's the four greatest needs. Children have those needs. Now watch. God meets all of those needs in one powerful verse. People need to be loved. For God so loved the world. People need to feel of worth that He gave His only begotten Son. That's how valuable people are. People need hope that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. And people need a purpose, but have everlasting life. Do you know today that what I just shared with you, most of the young people in America will live and die and never hear that simple truth found in John 3:16. Never hear it. I'm not talking about people on the foreign shores. I'm not talking about people in Africa and the Congo and people in the Caribbean, people in China. I'm talking about people who live in America. I believe with all of my heart that you stand a better chance of somebody stopping you, and I've been to this country many times, stopping you on the streets of Havana and telling you how to be saved than you will be stopped in some of our cities in America and be told how to be saved. Well, we got to begin to reach children. Children are ready. See, God created us with a need. I've never met a child that didn't want to meet Jesus. I've never met one. I've never met a child that didn't want to know Christ as their personal Savior. I've never met a child. Now, I've met some adults, but I've never met a child that did not want to meet the Lord Jesus. I remember this one group of children in Kenya, one of the villages. They have a little orphanage where the pastors have gotten together, the national pastors, and they have an orphanage for the children whose parents were killed in the civil unrest a few years ago, and they have those children in an orphanage. And they said to me, "Would you like to go speak to those children?" I said, "Of course, I'd love to." And so I remember looking at those precious children, about 80 of them, I guess, and from all ages, from small to teens, early teens. And I spoke to them, and I said, "God loves you. God sent me here to tell you that He loves you." And when I said that, those precious children took their arms and hugged themselves. I said, "God loves you. God loves you." And they just stopped for a moment, like God was hugging them. They wanted to know, God loves you. Now, I want you to know this, that the children in this country are just the same. They want to know God. They want somebody to tell them that God loves them, that they're of worth, and they want somebody to tell them they can have hope. They want somebody to tell them that their life can have purpose. Children are ready. They just need to hear the gospel. The gospel. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Do you believe that today? The gospel. The gospel. Children are ready. When I first started working with children, I discovered how much children understand. And I remember on one occasion when I had the privilege of being in Chattanooga, and we had services all around on Sunday. I'll tell you a little more about it later, but we'd preach, and I was in one service, and I used to preach to children. I loved preaching to children. I loved it, and still do, by the way. And I was preaching to the children, and a young girl responded and came forward, and some others, and a dear lady who was one of our secretaries at that time, her name's Carla. She's a wonderful Christian, been to the mission field, been on the mission field over 25 years. I mean, a great Christian. And Carla was one of the personal workers, and she talked to this young girl, and she looked back at me, and she said, "Brother Sexton, she's not ready to be saved." I said, "Oh, really?" And the young girl's nine or 10 years old, and I said, "Really?" She goes, "Yes." And then she spoke up and said, "She doesn't understand that she's a transgressor of God's holy law." I said, "I don't think I understand that." I said, "Do you mean to tell me she doesn't understand that she's a sinner?" "Yes." So I said, "Oh, well, let me speak with her a moment." And so I talked to her just for a little bit and asked her if she'd ever been in trouble. "Oh, yeah." "If she'd ever disobeyed parents." "Oh, yeah." And I explained to her what the Bible says when the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But she understood that. She understood she was a sinner. And she understood that there was a payment for her sin. You see, the Lord Jesus said that we're to make the gospel so that children and adults can understand the same. Now look what the Bible says. We have turned the thing around. We think children must have an adult experience. And the Lord said, look what Jesus said. He said, "Verily I say unto you," verse 15, "whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." Jesus said, The children don't need to have an adult experience. Adults need to have a childlike faith to be saved. Children are ready. Children will respond to preaching. They like it. As I mentioned, I preached to children. I liked it. I preached to children. And, you know, I would preach on all kinds of things. And I'd preach on what the devil's traps and how the devil destroys. And he walks about seeking whom he may devour. And I talk about all the things the devil used in this world and all the things that the rulers of darkness. And, boy, kids would just look, you know. And I mean, I was careful how I said it. But, you know, I'd preach, you know, God's people, Christians ought to live right and you ought to not smoke and, you know, unless you're in North Carolina, that's a good message. I'm just cutting out. Kids go, amen, you know. But boy, sometimes parents don't like that. But children will respond to it. And they'll take it and they'll do it. They like it. We had a little girl rode our bus to Sunday school, and I have this little song I teach children called Smoking, Drinking, Fist Fights, and Dirty Talk. They all make you walk the dirty walk. How many know that song? Smoking. And then the song goes, Jesus said, no, no, don't do it. Walk, walk, walk the Bible way. Read your Bible daily. Don't forget to pray. Walk, walk, walk the Bible way. Read your Bible every day. We had a little girl on our bus Sunday school. I got a call on Monday from a mother. And she said, my little girl came home from Sunday school. And she got my cigarettes and wadded them up and threw them in the garbage. And said, Jesus said, no, no, don't do that. I thought, God bless her, she got something. I thought I was going to get told off and chewed out. She said, if you'll get me a Bible, I'll read it with her. She got it. She understood it. We had a man preaching for us, one of the preachers from North Carolina, you know. And our church is like this. And so we had one of the guys preaching, and he was just preaching away. I mean, he was going at it. And he got real silent. And he thought he said something that was offensive. And he really didn't know what to do. He stopped, and he looked at me, and I knew I had to help him. And so I said, go ahead. You're helping us. You're helping us. Go ahead. And so he preached on, you know, and people thought, well, okay. And it wasn't long after that. I was preaching on a Sunday night, and I was preaching on doing right in the home. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, follow your husbands. Children, obey them. Husbands, don't be bitter toward them. And I'm just preaching away, and a little boy hadn't been saved very long, about 11 years old, said, you're helping us. God bless you. They respond to it. Children are ready to be saved. Children will respond to preaching. Children bring revival to a church. It's amazing how children get a hold of it and bring others to Christ. Isn't it exciting to see people who get it bring someone else? I like the story about, she said, I'm raising my hand for my sister. If you work in the children's ministry, if you're involved in reaching children, you know that when children get saved, they bring all of their friends. They bring people to the church. They load them up. They bring them forward. I've seen time and time again where young people, children, teenagers, all of them who get saved will work hard to bring their friends to Jesus. And listen, that's contagious. That's encouraging. By the way, you ought to always encourage them. Always thank God for them. You see, children can understand all of this. I remember one time we had them. In Chattanooga, when Dr. Robertson was pastor, he wouldn't let us take the children in a service on Sunday morning. Did you know that? We had to bring them in the auditorium. Now, there's 6,000 people in the auditorium. We had to bring the children from the buses in Sunday morning. I was a bus director. We had to bring the children in the services. Oh, my goodness. I'd go over the bus cabins. I'd say, fellas, make sure these kids behave, you know. And so we had places where they would sit. And we had four Sunday schools. But in the morning, they came into service. And so this one girl came forward. And the bus worker came with her. And the mother came with her. And she was a child off the bus. And I guess she was about nine also. And the girl came forward. And I was at the altar with people. And I looked. And Dr. Robertson had left the platform and came down to the front. Now, he very rarely ever did that. And he knelt down. And I walked over next to him. And he took the little girl by the hand. She was sitting on the front row. And the bus worker and the mother says that she'd come, you know, and she was going to follow Christ in baptism. She'd been saved a while. And so the mother was there and everything was worked out. And so Dr. Robertson took the little girl by the hand and he said, "What did Jesus do for you?" I was holding my breath. And she looked at him, smiled and said, "He died for me. He died for me." And he turned to me and he said, "Tom, make sure children understand why Jesus died." That's pretty much as simple as you can make it. Make sure they understand why Jesus died. If they do, then they understand that he didn't just die for them. He died for every single person. Children will bring revival to a ministry. Children prepare their families to trust Christ as Savior. They prepare their families. I got saved in July of 1976. I got saved in a great church. Brother Riley, Pastor Riley's with the Lord, Emmanuel Baptist Church in Fort Myers, Florida. Now, I'm glad that I got saved when I did, but I wished I'd gotten saved when I was much younger, but I'm glad I got saved. And I got saved in a good church. Brother Riley helped me right off the bat. He helped me get some things going. And so my first job and responsibility was to make sure the restrooms were prepared for the morning service between Sunday school and church. That was easy enough. And then after I got saved, I started working in the bus ministry. I felt like that's something I could do. And so I started working on a bus route. The bus ministry had played a big part in our life, and I wanted to be involved in it. So I started working in the bus route. And Brother Riley let me start a bus route. Now, I wasn't mature enough as a Christian to do this, but he let me start a bus route. We had just built a home in Cape Coral, Florida. It was a very small community then, and we just built a home. And so there was nobody in Cape Coral, no church over there. We were driving over to Fort Myers. So I started a bus route. My wife and I, we started a bus route in Cape Coral, Florida. And so we started. Now, I was just recently a Christian. Hadn't been saved very long. And, you know, today I don't know if I'd have enough confidence to let a new Christian do that. But he said, "Have at it, Tom." And so he helped me. Well, when I got saved, I was a contractor. I was a bricklayer. I worked for a guy from Denmark for 4 years. He taught me the building industry, and I was a contractor. And there was a man I worked with who worked with us, whose name was Jerry, who was a drunkard. How many have ever known a drunkard? Well, Jerry couldn't hardly keep his job. Now, Jerry was married, and he had several children. And before I got saved, Jerry and his wife split up. And Jerry, every weekend, would drive all over Florida and try to find his wife. She had left with someone and took the children. And one day, he found his wife living in a town called Bartow, Florida, about, I guess, 60 miles from Fort Myers. And he pleaded with her to come home, and she said, "I'm never coming back." Now, I'm not saved. He wasn't saved. None of us saved. And so he came back, and then that was the end of Jerry. He was just a drunkard. You couldn't work, couldn't do anything. And then she called him and said, "Jerry, I want to come home." He said, "I'm not going to have you. You can't come home." And he said, she said, "I want to come home. I love you." He said, "I don't want you." She said, "If you don't let me come home, I'm going to kill myself." He said, "Go ahead." As crazy as this may seem, she set those children down in the living room, took a .38 and said, "Your daddy told me to do this." Ended her life. I got a phone call. They knew that I knew Jerry. And I went and got Jerry and told him what his wife had just done. I wasn't a Christian. I took Jerry to Bartow, Florida, myself. We went to the mobile home park where his children were. People were holding them. And we got those children, put them in a car, and brought him back to Fort Myers. I wasn't a Christian. I didn't know what to say to him. Shortly after I got saved, I started this bus route. The first family that I wanted to reach was Jerry. And Jerry didn't want to come to church. He didn't want anything to do with it, but he let his children ride our bus to Sunday school. I'm so glad he did. He had a little girl named Mona. She hadn't gone to school yet. She really wasn't old enough to ride a bus, but we let her. And I filled the bus up. My wife and I filled the bus up. We had those kids so excited and stirred up, we'd pull up in front of the church, open the door, and they'd just charge. And one of the dear ladies from Emmanuel Baptist Church came to me and said, "Tom, you're destroying us. Do something with these crazy kids." Now, you know, you couldn't offend me then. And really, you can't hardly now, but I'm a little more sensitive today than I was then. And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Do something with them. Teach them something. Calm them down before they get here." And I thought, okay. She said, "Teach them." I said, "What should I teach them?" She said, "Teach them the gospel." I said, "Well, write it out and I'll teach it." So she wrote out the gospel verses, the Romans wrote. And my wife and I decided that we would let the boys and girls memorize a verse a week. And if they memorized the verse, they'd get on the bus and they'd say the verse. And my wife had made these special little things. It was Christmas season, and she made these special little things to give the boys and girls if they said the verse. A little thing she made, they could hang on a tree. And every boy and girl on our bus wanted one of those. And so they'd get on the bus. They'd say the verse. We'd give them the thing. And they loved it. Mona had not gone to school. She couldn't read. And she'd get on the bus, and she wouldn't know the verse like the rest of them. She'd say Romans chapter 3, verse number 23, where the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." She'd say stuff like, "For all been bad and God's mad." I said, "That's pretty much it. That'll do." We went through the Romans Road. Jerry lived in the mobile home park adjoining our city. And there was another man lived in that mobile home park named Mitch, who went to a little Baptist church down on Pine Island, and he was a deacon. And he called my wife and gave her a message. I came home from work, and my wife said, "Honey, you're not going to believe, but Jerry got saved today." I said, "What?" "Jerry got saved today." "Really?" I got in my car and drove out to where he lived. I had little Bibles I would give boys and girls, you know, when they got saved. And I drove out. Now, remember, we're new Christians. We hadn't been at this very long. And I drove out to where Jerry lived, and I knocked on his door, and he came to the door. And I'd never been inside his mobile home. He never would let me in. But this day, he said, "Come in." And I went inside his mobile home, and there were beer cans everywhere. everywhere. And there was a coffee table. And right in the middle of all the beer cans, the verse that we'd given out that week, we'd gone through the plan of salvation, and we gave the boys and girls John 3:16. And there's John 3:16. And Jerry told me what had happened in his life. You see, every night, Jerry would help Mona memorize these verses. And every night, he would try to help her get a hold of this. And his children would get on the bus, and they'd all say their verse, and Mona would say hers, and they'd get the little special treat. After 5 weeks, God was doing something in Jerry's life. You see, they not only were learning the plan of salvation, but they were singing these songs about Christ. They were singing these songs that help people understand what God has done in their life. They're praying. God is working in their life, and God was working in their home. And after a while, Jerry just couldn't take it anymore. And he flagged Mitch down and said, "What do I have to do?" And Mitch took a Bible and led him to Christ. And Jerry rode our bus Sunday. He followed the Lord and believer's baptism. Another woman who lived in the park, whose husband had died, and she got saved and got baptized. Her and Jerry became bus workers. They eventually married. And they moved later, but they served God together. And I saw what God can do through children. If we'll help children, children want to see their family come to Christ. And we started years ago a thing we called the Gospel Award. And even today, we continue to do it. When I was in Chattanooga, we did it, and boys and girls would learn it. And we've seen literally hundreds and possibly thousands of people come to know Christ because children have learned the gospel and get the Gospel Award. We have a special day in our church where we have Gospel Award Sunday. Well, the boys and girls have worked on it all week long, and then they come to church on that day, and we recognize them, and the families come with them. It's a big day, and the boys and girls are excited about it, and parents are there. They're excited their children are going to get the Gospel Award. It's a beautiful plaque they get to put in their home, and we've seen so many folk in our church get saved because the children have prepared their moms and dads to hear the gospel. You see, children are ready to be saved. Children will respond to preaching. Children will bring revival. And children will prepare their families to receive the word of God. But the truth of the matter is, the Lord Jesus says in this verse, "For such is of the kingdom of God." Children will bring great rewards in heaven. Great rewards. My brother and I and two sisters were raised in a home where our father was not there. We lived in 23 different places before we started school. We didn't start school till the third grade. We moved everywhere. Everywhere. My father didn't want anybody to know where we lived. And he would move us somewhere. And after a while, somebody would find out we lived there, he'd move us somewhere else. But one place we moved that we were able to stay for 2 years was a place called East Lake Courts in Chattanooga, Tennessee. My mother there, it's a housing project. My mother and her four children, we were there, and we lived in that housing project. My mother used to tell me about that. She'd say, "You know, those were the most difficult times in our life. We didn't know if your dad was dead or alive, and we were just trying to figure out what to do. Everything we could to stay alive." And she said, "You know, that's when y'all went to Sunday school, and the church bus would come by. And when we lived at East Lake Courts in Chattanooga, Tennessee, the Highland Park Baptist Church had a bus route that went to that area. And one day, somebody knocked on our door and brought my mother, myself, my brother, my two sisters, and we rode a bus to Sunday school. Can you imagine? My mother used to tell me about it. She'd say, honey, they put shoes on your feet. She said, there was times when we didn't have anything to eat, and the church people would bring stuff by our house. And then one day, we moved. My father loaded us up and moved to another place, and we moved to Maryville, Tennessee. I'm sure the bus workers came by and they wondered whatever happened to these kids. No note, no nothing, just gone. I got saved when I was 26 years old. My brother got saved when he was younger. When I got saved, God started working in my life, and I remember when God impressed upon my heart to go and be prepared to do more for God with my life. And I moved, my wife and I and two little girls moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I went to Bible school at Tennessee Temple in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We got there, we got involved in the bus ministry. I just jumped right in it. That's what had worked in our life, and that's how God worked in my life. And we started in the North Chattanooga bus route. As crazy as it may seem, when I graduated from Bible college, I didn't know what I was going to do. And Dr. Robertson asked me if I would join the staff and work in the bus ministry. And so I became the bus director of the Highland Park Baptist Church bus ministry. We had 65 bus routes. Now, I'd been working in it and preaching and involved in it. 65 bus routes, four Sunday schools. And so for 4.5 years, that was my responsibility. And worked with the soul winning outreach, and what a privilege God had given me. There was a man there by the name of M.J. Parker. M.J. Parker drove a National Linen truck. He was a layman, and he started the evangelistic bus ministry of America. M.J. Parker. He was there. He started the bus ministry at Highland Park many years before I was there. He'd had a stroke. He was up in years. But he was such a blessing. He'd come to every bus meeting. He could hardly walk, and he'd sit in the back. He was nearly 80 years old when he went home to be with the Lord. He was such an encourager. And one day, we decided to have an M.J. Parker Sunday. We was going to recognize M.J. Parker for all the things he'd done. He trained so many preachers. He's a layman now, but he taught people how to do the work of the Lord. He and his precious wife. And so, I put an article in the Evangelist, was the paper that was mailed out then. It had over 100,000 subscribers. We mailed and wrote people, and I got letters back from literally all over the world, people who had been a part of the ministry that M.J. Parker had helped in the ministry. And I was putting all the letters together and, you know, working on it. And we sent a letter to Brother Gene Casey in the Second Baptist Church of Festus, Missouri. And Brother Casey had gone home to be with the Lord, and we sent the letter to the church and wanted Mrs. Casey, Joyce Casey, to write a letter because they were part of that. And so she wrote a letter, and Dr. Faulkner read one night in service that Mrs. Casey had gone home to be with the Lord. And I'm going through the letters after that, and I see a letter from Mrs. Casey. It's not every day you get a letter from heaven. And so I opened it up, and I paid special attention to it because she'd gone home to be with the Lord. And there was all kinds of letters. It was hard to, you know. And I took this letter, and I was in my office, and I started reading this letter from Mrs. Joyce Casey. And she said, Brother Sexton, thank you so much for having an M.J. Parker Sunday. M.J. Parker and Ma Parker, that's what they called her, helped Gene and I so much when we were there as students in the ministry. She said, Brother Parker trained us, taught us. Miss Parker helped us. He said, we had the privilege of being a bus captain of the East Lake bus route in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Now, I didn't know who the bus captain was when we lived there. And she put the dates, and that's the same dates that my mother, me, my brother, my two sisters lived in the East Lake Courts. And I'm reading a letter from the wife of the bus captain who brought our family to Sunday school. And she said in that letter, I think of those precious children so often. And she told a story that I'd heard my mother say. She said there was a time we took some food to one house and the children were so hungry they tore the bag apart when we walked in the door. And my mother said to me before, honey, when we lived there, we were so hungry. I called the church and they brought us some food. And she said before they could get in the door, you kids tore the bag apart and got the food out. We were so hungry. Now, I don't know if it was us that she was talking about, but I'm sure there were many families like that. And she said, Jean and I have often thought, whatever happened to those children? Whatever happened to them? She's in heaven. He was in heaven. My brother had flown out there before Brother Casey went home to be with the Lord and preached in the church. And Brother Casey thought it'd be good if Clarence would come there and pastor that church. But my brother wanted to go to New Jersey, and that's where he went. But Brother Casey never knew, and my brother never knew, that we rode their bus to Sunday school. And so I'm reading that letter in my office, and I'm thinking, wouldn't it have been wonderful for them to know we were their bus kids? Wouldn't it have been wonderful for Ms. Casey to know when she said, I often wonder whatever happened to those children. Wouldn't it be wonderful for her to have known we were the bus children? And I was in my office, and God reminded me of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And I knew that moment. They know now. They know now. One of these days, I'm going to see them again. My mother's in heaven today. My pop, every member of our family, our aunts, our uncles, every member of our family has trusted Christ as Savior. Every member of my wife's family has trusted Christ as Savior. My mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my mother, my pop, our family members, my uncles, are in heaven tonight because somebody invested their life in boys and girls and brought them to Jesus. And God began a work in our family that has gone on through these years. And I think sometimes when I'm looking in the faces of boys and girls in Africa and other places, and I see them sing, and I see how God's blessed, and I see boys and girls come to the Lord Jesus, I know that one day Gene and George Casey are going to reap a harvest from their influence over children. And when the Lord Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when the trumpet blows? And we're going to know then what happened in our life to bring us to this place. You know, the Bible says no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. Every single person in this auditorium has someone who invested their life in your life. And every time we tell someone about Jesus, God begins to work. But when we bring children to Jesus, they have a whole life ahead of them. And we just really never know what God's going to do with them. We never know what's going to happen next. The boys and girls that ride these buses to Sunday school, they may be the very ones who pastor this church and take the gospel from this ministry to the ends of the earth. We have a part. People say, you can't build a church with children. Well, the truth of the matter is, we can't build a church, period. Jesus said, I will build my church. He doesn't say we can build it or you and I can. He said, I will build my church. Thank God he uses us. But one of the things that's happened all across America is that churches like ours have decided that it's really not worth it to reach children. Over 50 million young people are in the public school system. There's not a boy and girl that lives anywhere in this area that doesn't want to meet Jesus. If we truly understood what God could do with children, we would run to them with the gospel. D.L. Moody began his ministry bringing children to Jesus. He was known as Crazy Moody. D.L. Moody was mightily used of God. And D.L. Moody, when he came to the end of his life, made this statement, if I had my life to live over again, I would give it entirely to reaching children. Children. And they brought young children to Jesus. Now, you may not can get on a bus and work. You may not can drive a bus. But M.J. Parker, who Dr. Robertson said is the greatest Christian he had ever known in his 73 years of ministry, a layman, M.J. Parker said, he was talking to me one day, and he said, who's on your bus team? And I named him. He said, it's too small. He said, Brother Tom, until you understand, every church member can be part of your bus team. You're never going to understand what this is all about. It's not something a few people do. It's the ministry. And everybody has a part. Praying, encouraging, reaching boys and girls, bringing them to Jesus. My heart was so stirred to see all the young people today, and the young people tonight, but the young people today, and I know you can tell boys and girls and young people that ride a bus, and you can tell the difference. Thank God for a church that loves children. Amen. And loves young people. Amen. And encourages them. Amen. But we are losing ground in America. We're losing ground in Cape Coral. But we're all losing ground. And we need to do this one thing the Lord Jesus has promised. He has promised that He'll build His church. And whether we see it in this lifetime or whether we see it in the next one, God uses children in a mighty way. I believe that. And I want to encourage you to bring children to Jesus. Let's bow our heads in just a moment. We're going to pray. With our heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, I know your pastor, he loves children. He loves young people. He loves the bus ministry. He loves boys and girls. You cannot make the sacrifices this church has made and not love what Jesus loves. Thank God for that. But may God help us to see, out of the 7.4 billion people in this world, so many of them are children, waiting, wanting to know God. May the Lord help us. Tonight, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you a question. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're going to heaven, it's no accident you're in this service. God brought you here. And I can tell you there are people here that love you and care about you and would do everything possible to help you. But their heartfelt prayers for you to know Christ and to spend eternity with Jesus. And tonight, if you're here and you do not know the Lord, I want to encourage you to come. Just come to this altar in a moment and let somebody help you. Take a Bible and show you from the Bible how to know for sure that heaven's going to be your home. Get it settled. But tonight, if you're here, you say, Brother Sexton, God has stirred my heart. I don't know what we can do. I don't know the next step. But I do know this, that this is something that's dear to God. This is something that our nation needs. This is something we need to put our energy and effort in. And so tonight, if you're here and you say, God has stirred my heart about children. Maybe God's calling you into children's ministry. Maybe there's something else that God will help you, but God has spoken to your heart about it. I want you to do more than just sit in the pew tonight. I want you to come and find a place and pray that God will help us open our eyes and help us to see what we can do to reach all the children. Tonight, pray for families. You have to love these families. You have to encourage the children. They are your missionary into these homes. They need to be equipped. They need to be helped. And they will return rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. They'll bring parents. We have to do all we can to help them. And tonight, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, how many would say, Brother Sexton, God has spoken to my heart about children's ministry. God has spoken to my heart about it. And I want God to show me what I need to do. How many say that's me? Would you lift your hand? God bless you. Now tonight, we're going to sing. And I want you to come in a moment the pastor's coming. One day, the trumpet's going to sound. We're going to leave. And all these children be left behind. I was in a place called Goma in the DRC Congo, a city with over 2.5 million people. There was a little girl standing in the doorway who had ran to the meeting, my last meeting. Someone took a picture. She was trying to find somebody to tell her about Christ. We left with her standing, looking at us going down the road. I look at that picture quite often. Think about all the children going to be left. One day they're going to be left here. They don't have to be. We can reach them. Father, help us tonight as we give this invitation. May your blessed will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, preacher, if you would.